chapter 4 tonight, Nehemiah chapter 4. I'm giving you part number 3 to a message that I began last Sunday morning on the stronghold of discouragement. This is part number 3 of that message. I encourage you, if you've not been here, to go back and get the last 2 sermons, so that way you can get the full picture of this whole message. And it's the last 2 Sunday mornings, last Sunday morning and this morning. And now we give you part 3 tonight. You're going to Nehemiah chapter 4. Let's pray together, and I give you the stronghold of discouragement, part number 3. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, challenge us through your word. Help us to get help tonight with the stronghold of discouragement. May the will of God be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I remind you that every one of us, at some time or another, if God gives you enough breath and enough time on planet Earth, will deal with the stronghold of discouragement. It's going to come. It comes to everybody in some form or some fashion. Now, before I get to where we pick up tonight, I remind you that we've already preached on the root of discouragement, that being fatigue, a wrong focus, a threat to your life, and the unexpected. We've already preached on the results of discouragement, how it weakens you, how it can stop you working in God's will, how it can deceive you into believing a lie. It can lead you to complaining about the goodness of God, and it can keep you from God's best. We've preached on the remedy for discouragement in the book of Haggai, how God gave those discouraged people His presence, His promises, and His peace. Then we're currently under now the response to discouragement, and you're in Nehemiah chapter 4, and we gave you point number 1 under this. The first thing, the first way to respond to discouragement is to go to God in prayer. We preached on that this morning, verses 4, 5, and 9. Now I pick up with number 2, second response tonight. This is letter B if you're following along, Roman numeral 4, letter B. The second response to discouragement. When you find yourself discouraged, here's how to respond. Because when you come to Nehemiah, I do remind you that this is a discouraged people. It's a people that is under opposition. They're being attacked by the enemies of the work of God. And if they're not careful, then this opposition is going to lead to discouragement and going to send them into despair. So we're studying how these folks in the book of Nehemiah dealt with discouragement. What did they do? Because what they did is the same way that we combat against it tonight. Number 2, here it is now. Keep on doing the will of God. Keep on doing the will of God. Look at verse number 6 of Nehemiah chapter 4. Keep in mind what's going on. They are being opposed. They are being threatened. And notice verse number 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Now keep in mind that is right in the middle of the opposition. That is right in the middle of the discouragement. While they're discouraged, while they're opposed, while the enemy of the work is prevalent in their life, the Bible says in verse 6, we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together. You know what that tells me? That tells me that in the midst of this opposition, they just kept on building the wall for the glory of God. They didn't just pray about it, but they worked as well. See, yes, they went to God in prayer. That was this morning. But they also kept on doing the will of God. They had the attitude, if you will, in the midst of this opposition of pass me another brick. Hand me another brick. They were not going to quit. They kept on going in the face of the enemy. And as a result of this, the work of God did not diminish. It actually progressed. This goes to show that when criticism gets hotter, determination can get greater. Now, friends, listen to me. One reason that this happened during this time is because the Bible says the people had a mind to work. This means that their heart was in it. They were living for something greater than themselves. Now, if they listened to the enemies, if they listened to their own heart, if they listened to their discouragement, they would have thrown down their tools, they'd have sat over in a corner somewhere and pouted, and they'd have just thrown in the towel and stopped on God, but not these people. When they were attacked, when their enemies were blaspheming, when they were trying to discourage their heart and stop their progress, they refused to quit. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there's no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. May I say this to you? When discouragement comes, you need to make up your mind that you're not going to quit on God. That you're not going to throw in the towel on the will of God for your life. But rather, the Lord can progress His work even during times of discouragement. One man said it this way, why is it that our immediate reaction to adversity is to quit? Like the angry little boy on the playground, we take our ball and go home. People leave churches, they quit jobs, they walk away from marriages, all because they've encountered the predictable season of discouragement. Satan knows that if he can play on our emotions and get us to quit, he can keep God's work from moving forward. But take a look at Nehemiah. He felt all the discouragement of his people, but he never set down the trowel. He never missed a beat in laying the next brick. He knew he had to keep on keeping on. Yes, there were problems to deal with, but he wasn't going to set aside the mandate God had given him. The main thing is to keep the main thing as the main thing. We need to have a firm grasp on what God has called us to do, put on the blinders, and keep plugging away. I like that statement. The fact of the matter is this, discouragement is going to come. It's going to happen. You're going to face discouragement. So why is it when something that we know is coming, why is it that we allow it to cause us to put our hammers down? Why is it that when something that we know is coming, we allow it to cause us to stop doing what God has called us to do? May I say this to you? When you're discouraged, the worst thing you can do is quit doing the will of God. Keep going for God. Can I say this to you? Stay on the wall. This is what Nehemiah and his people were doing. They were apparently getting discouraged. The enemies were trying to blaspheme, trying to threaten them, all these kind of things, saying, listen, look at this work. It's nothing. All these kind of things, trying to discourage their heart, and they refused to let them, I'm talking about to let it take them down off the wall and stop working for God. The Bible says in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The fact of the matter is God's work is bigger than my emotions. The fact of the matter is God's wall is more important than how I feel. Amen tonight. And I'm not saying tonight that if you're discouraged, shame on you for being discouraged. I'm not saying that. But I am saying shame on us if we allow the discouragement to keep our eyes off of the wall. We need to be focused on what God's given us to do, no matter what the devil throws in our life. Because the fact of the matter is he throws things in our lives and throws things in our pathway because he does not want the wall built. Let me tell you why. Because he knows a completed wall glorifies God, who he hates, he can't stand, and he's trying to stop the progress of God's will in your life. Refuse to quit. Keep going. May the hammer be in your hands no matter what life throws at you. That's number two. Let me give you a third response, all right here in this chapter. Number three, set a watch. We see this in verse number 9. Look at this. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Look at verse number 13. Therefore set I in the lower places, behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. Now here's the point I'm trying to get across. Stay with me here. Nehemiah made his prayer to God. That's part of the response. You need to pray. They were determined to stay on the wall. You need to be determined never to quit on God. But then he set a watch. Now what does this mean? He told the people, he said, keep your eyes open. Don't be surprised. The enemy's out there. Don't let him blindside you. The picture here is they were to put their trust in the Lord, be ready at any moment to fight for the work of God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Here's the point here. Be on guard for the enemy's attack at any moment. Be on the lookout for the enemy. Don't fall asleep. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What I'm saying to you is this: you know discouragement can come at any moment. Watch for it. Don't be blindsided. It's interesting in verse number 13 what he said. He said, I sit in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher place I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. He set them in the high and the low places. I'm going to dwell on the low places. Both of them have a message in it, but especially setting them in the lower places. In other words, you get to the lower places and you keep your eyes open. You get to the high places and you keep your eyes open. Let me talk to you about the low places. He was placing them in the lower and the high places on the wall to protect them against an oncoming attack from the enemy. Get this. The lower places were the places on the wall that were not yet finished. Stay with me now. And therefore, the lower places were the places where they were most vulnerable and where they were most accessible. This goes to show that when you're discouraged, you better protect your weak parts. And you better set a guard on the parts where you are most vulnerable. May I say this to you? Everybody here has weaknesses. Everybody. There are areas that the devil can use to discourage you that he may not be able to use that to discourage me. And vice versa. There are areas of weakness in my life that may be a strength in yours. But everybody has high points and everybody has low points. And Nehemiah said, watch them both. You guard both of them. May I encourage you with this? Let me tell you a response to discouragement. Guard your weaknesses. And set a watch where you know the devil's going to attack. For instance, when the Lord Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights in the book of Matthew chapter number 4, the Bible says after it he was hungered. He hungered. So the devil started his attack with food. And may I say this to you? The devil knows where your low points are. He knows them. So you need to stand guard and set a watch there. So number two tonight, because I gave you number one this morning, go to God in prayer. Number two, stay on the wall. Don't quit on God. Number three, set a watch. Number four, verse 14, remember the Lord. We see this in verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Notice this now. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Notice Nehemiah speaks to the people in this verse and gives them an answer to their discouragement. He said, when you are discouraged and you're under attack and folks are trying to take you down, here's what you need to do. Remember the Lord. He told them what they were not to do here is not to fear the enemy. Don't fear the enemy, but rather remember the Lord. They were to compare their current situation to the Lord who had been so good to them. You know, this is the answer to any kind of discouragement. What I mean by that is whatever discourages you, it can be huge, it can be big, it can be massive. We know that, especially if it's in your life. What you deal with, it's massive, it's huge. But no matter what that is, when you remember the Lord in the midst of it, that starts getting smaller and smaller and smaller. See, the devil is a master. I'm not saying that to raise him. I'm saying that to expose him. The devil's a master at taking anything he can and to get our focus on that. Look at that. when what we need to do is look beyond that and see God. One preacher said it this way: you can diffuse the landmine of disappointment by confessing the truth of God. Turn to His Word, study about His faithfulness, His attributes, His personal promises to you. Dig deep and you will gain an awesome perspective of His nature, who He is, and the depth of His intimate love for you. One of the answers to discouragement is who God is. Who is He? See, one thing the devil will try to get you to think is nobody cares. Nobody knows. Nobody understands. I thought God loved me. You know what I'm talking about, friends. You ever had thoughts go through that? I'm talking about just go through your mind. God doesn't love me. God doesn't know what's going on in my life. Nobody else does it. Nobody cares. Hey, you can say that without ever saying it. And I'm saying to you tonight that one of the secrets to responding to discouragement is when your heart is discouraged, focus, remember the Lord. He's good. He makes no mistakes. He's holy. He's love. He's righteous. His promises are true. He'll not forsake you. Remember the Lord. Psalm 43:5 says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him who's the health of my countenance and my God." Hebrews 12:2-3, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, set down on the right hand of the throne of God. "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." You know what that tells me? That tells me that if I'm not considering Jesus, if I'm not looking unto Jesus, if I'm not remembering the Lord, I'm going to get weary and I'm going to faint in my minds. What am I saying to you? I'm saying if you find yourself discouraged and you're struggling with it, I mean, there it is. I mean, you just can't get out of it. It's overwhelming you. One of the problems is you've lost sight of who God really is. Do you understand what I'm saying to you tonight? I'm telling you that one of the responses to discouragement is to remember the Lord. Remember who He is. Then number five tonight, another response to discouragement right here in this chapter is to fight for your family. This is also found in verse number 14, kind of the latter part of it here. Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. You know, it's interesting how Nehemiah encouraged these dear people not only to remember the Lord, but also be ready to fight. Then he shares with them a great motive to fight: their families. They were to be ready to fight for the safety and future of their families. Now get this. If these people here refused to watch, they did not go to God in prayer, they came down off the wall, all these other kind of things, then they were opening their families up to the attack of the enemy. Let me tell you a good reason to fight discouragement. Let me give you a good reason to stay on the wall, keep building, keep battling, keep going. Let me tell you a good reason to set a watch, go to God in prayer, a good reason to remember the Lord. Let me tell you why. Because your children's future could depend on it. May I say this to you? There are a lot of Christian families whose sons and daughters don't stand a chance because their daddy is living in discouragement and refuses to fight the devil. Let me tell you something. When I'm discouraged, it's hard to fight. I know that. It's hard to fight when you've lost confidence. It's hard to fight when your spirit is disquieted. It's hard to fight whenever you feel like complaining instead of swinging. So I know it's hard. But one reason we need to grind our teeth and fight when we're discouraged is for the future of our family. Let me tell you something. The devil hates you and your family. He can't stand you. He can't stand your children. And if he had it his way, every one of us would burn in hell forever. Every one of us. I've got three precious children and one on the way. And I can't hardly imagine that the devil can't stand them. He can't stand them. He hates them. He wants them to burn in hell. He's already lost two of them. Amen. But he wants them to burn in hell. He wants them to throw their life away. He wants them to just ruin their life, wreck their life. He didn't want them to do anything for God. Let me tell you one way he tries to get them to discourage me and to discourage my wife. Because he knows if he can keep their daddy and their mama discouraged, he's got a pretty good stronghold on them too. Can I tell you why? Because children see it as it is. You can't put blinders on them. Why would they want to be like somebody who walks around discouraged and defeated all the time? Who says, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, I'm so discouraged. You know what they need in the home? They need in the home somebody like a Mr. Page who's bouncing off the walls glorifying God in every step of the way. Even when discouraged, can I say something to you? Fake it and act like you love Jesus anyway. Amen. You say, you tell me to fake? If that's what it takes, do it. Because I'm going to tell you something, friends. Our children need to have a mom and daddy who have the joy of the Lord in their heart, not a discouraged heart in their life. Now, I'm not telling you to lie. No, it sounds like that. I'm just playing with you, all right? Why don't you get on your face and ask God to help it be real in your life? I need that. One thing and one response to discouragement is fight for your family. Fight for them. Refuse to quit and keep going, because your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren need your fight. Then, whatever the next one is here, here we go. Three more, we'll be done. The next response to discouragement is be balanced. Be balanced. This is found in verses 16 to 18. Let's read this together. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, and whatever that word is there, I'm skipping it. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which built it on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so built it. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. Now in these verses, there's something that's interesting. There's one word that comes to my mind when I read verses 16 to 18, and that's balance. That's balance. Notice how when the enemy realized their secret plan was found out and they did not attack, they said they were going to attack, but their secret plan was found out, so they did not attack, the workers were split in half. Part of them went back to building the wall, while the other half were watching out for the enemy, armed and ready for war. We also see people using one hand to work while the other hand held a weapon. Then we see the builders on the wall had a sword girded by their side, ready to fight at any given moment. I call this building and battling. In all of this, we see how these dear people were balanced in their approach to the work of God. They were faithfully working on the wall, but they were also ready to go to work at any given moment. Now get this. The Lord's going to have to help you understand what I'm trying to say here, because I may not be putting it exactly understandable here. One way to combat against discouragement is a balanced approach to the work of God. What I mean is this. There are many of God's children today who are not balanced. Some do nothing at all. Others are great fighters. They don't mind to fight, but they never work. And others are great workers, but they're not willing to fight. The fact is, the Lord wants His children to be active in the work, but also be willing to contend for the faith, friends. He wants us to be balanced. He wants us to do both. He wants us to work in the will of God and fight the enemy. He doesn't want you to be doing one or the other. He wants you to be doing both. And friends, listen to me. If you're willing to fight and not work, you're missing it. But if you think you can work and not fight, you're crazy. Because the Christian life is a lifetime of war. That's what it is. You're in a warfare. Read Ephesians chapter 6. I'm telling you, you must be balanced. Then the next thing here, which is one of the greatest things to me when you're discouraged, this is one of the greatest combative things against discouragement that personally I believe we can give you from this chapter, and that is this. When you're discouraged, help others who are discouraged. We see this in verses 19 and 20. Now notice this. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall one from another. Verse 20, notice it. In what place therefore ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. Now, let me explain what Nehemiah is doing. He's setting up an alarm system. That's what he's doing here. He's saying, listen, there's great distances between us on the wall here. We're all working on the wall, and we don't know where the enemy's going to attack. So I'm going to have people with a trumpet. And anytime you hear the trumpet sound, drop what you're doing and run to the sound of the trumpet. It's an alarm system. That's what he's doing. And he said that when they heard it, stop and run to the sound of it in order to help with those that were being attacked. This goes to show how the people were willing to help their other brothers and sisters when they were under attack. One man said it this way, discouragement sends us inward. It really does. Where pity parties are common and perspective is rare. How often I've forgot my own little worries when I've been busy calling on someone who was sick or making my rounds at the hospital. Going in, I've told God that I had nothing to give these people. Coming out, I felt abundantly blessed. Our own burdens become lighter when we've been carrying the burdens of others. That's the way God planned things. He doesn't want you to bear your own load. He wants you to join a burden-bearing community. By the way, that's where the church comes in. He wants you to be entrenched in a network of encouragement. Can I give you some great advice when you're discouraged? Find somebody else who's discouraged and try to encourage them. Carry their burden. Because I'm going to tell you what happens when you do that. When you bear other people's burdens, it seems like your own burden gets a little bit lighter. The Bible says in Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know what the church is? It is a burden-bearing body. That's what it is to be. We're to help each other bear our burdens. God never intended for his children to carry their burdens. He never intended for that. Because the word of God says, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he'll sustain thee. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. Yes, he wants us to cast our burden on him. That's what it means, throw it on him. I mean, get rid of it. I mean, viciously throw it on him. But let's be honest. It's hard to do that, isn't it? It's not easy to do that. We should do that. We ought to do that. And we ought to be praying, God, take it, take it, take it, take it, take it. But so many times we hold on to it. Yes? That's why it's important for God's children to help other of God's children bear their load. You know, if you bear a load alone, you've got a heavy load that's too heavy for you to carry. But the more people that come and put an arm under it, the lighter that load becomes. May God help us to help each other. And may we help each other to cast that burden on the Lord. One of the great responses to discouragement is to help others under attack. You're reminded of the story. I'm going by memory here, but there was a boy who was trying to lift a large rock, I think it was. His daddy was sitting back watching all of this, and this boy was trying to bend down with all of his might. He tried to lift it, and he couldn't move it. Maybe budged it a little bit, but he couldn't lift it off the ground. He's trying other things and all these kind of things. And all of a sudden his daddy said, son, he said, are you using all the strength you have? He said, yes, daddy, I am. His daddy said, son, no, you're not. Because you've not asked me yet. And friends, let me tell you something. Our daddy can carry any load that we put on his shoulders. But we spend so much time when God says, your daddy's sitting right over there. Won't you ask him to come pick it up? Some people need help to do that. Bear each other's burdens. You ever gone into a hospital room where somebody's really, really sick or something like that? I mean, there's something going on and you had every intention of going into that room to encourage them and it was vice versa. They encouraged you instead. Has that ever happened to you? That person did what I'm preaching. They had a heavy burden, but they were focused on you instead. This is one of the responses to discouragement. Then finally tonight, verse number 20, realize God fights for his own. We see this in the last phrase, our God shall fight for us. In this verse, we see Nehemiah reminding the people that the Lord was the one who would be fighting for them. In other words, the Lord was on their side. He would win the battle for them. He would take care of them. You know one of the secrets to living in victory over discouragement, if you're saved, realize you're on the winning side. You know, there's a lot of winning and losing in this life. Ball games, marriages, at jobs, all these kind of things. You know what God's been encouraging me with lately? I've already won. I'm already on the winning side. You've heard the song that maybe Curtis Hudson sung, I'm on the winning side, I'm on the winning side. Friends, for a child of God, that's true. And I know life throws curveballs. I know that discouragement comes and discouragement goes, and before you know it, you're discouraged again, and here it comes again, and here it comes again. But friends, don't lose sight of the fact that our God shall fight for us. Our God shall fight for us. He's the secret. He's the victory. Let me go back and hit this now. The response to discouragement. I'm talking about because our Lord and his remedy where he gives his presence, he gives his promises, he gives his peace. When you find yourself discouraged, the way you need to respond to it is go to God in prayer. Beg God for his help. Stay on the wall, refuse to come down, keep doing God's will for your life. Set a watch in the high places, especially the low places where you're most vulnerable. Remember the Lord, don't forget who he is. Fight for your family because the devil's after them. Be balanced, do both. Work and fight, work and fight. Help somebody else under attack. And be reminded again that if God lives in you, God's fighting for you, and he's never lost a battle. He's never lost. He's undefeated. And friends, we are on the winning side. Discouragement is something that comes to everybody. No matter who they are, where they are, and many times doesn't even care how old they are either. I mean, I've got a little girl, she's not even 2 years old, she gets discouraged. We saw some of that today. Discouragement hits all ages. Everybody, all countries, makes no difference. When it comes, let us remember the root. Am I tired? Am I worn out? Do I feel threatened somehow? You know what I'm talking about. Let us remember the results of it, that nothing good comes out of it, and if I'm not careful, I'll begin to believe lies and be weak and complain about what God's doing instead of what he's not done or the goodness that he's had toward us. Let us remember that the remedy is not found in trying to believe in myself, but rather the Lord and his word. Remember how he told Haggai, he said, speak now, and he gave them his presence. He said, I'm still with you. His promises are true and the best is yet to come. And he says, I'll give you peace in this place. And that leads us to the response. Go to God in prayer. Stay on the wall. Refuse to quit. Be balanced, fight for your families. Help somebody else who's discouraged. remember that God is fighting for you. And God can give you victory over the stronghold of discouragement. Now, this is a message that you're not going to remember at all. I know that. It took me 3 sermons to get through it. But I trust that something that was said in one of these 3 parts, that you'll take it and use it to live in victory over the stronghold of discouragement. And when you find yourself discouraged, refuse to stay in that pit. God wants to give you victory. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we love you, and I pray that you will help us in the stronghold of discouragement to refuse to live in it. We know that we're attacked by it often, but I pray that you would give us victory over it. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. When they get prepared here, they're going to begin to play through softly. And I wonder tonight, do you have the Lord living inside of you? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? If you've never trusted the Lord, there's no help against discouragement, at least long term. Because He is peace. He is comfort and He is encouragement. That's who He is. So if you don't have Him, you don't have that. So if you've never trusted Christ, you come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Or maybe tonight you're a child of God and you're tired in the work of God. You begin to look at the rubbish instead of the wall. You feel threatened somehow, and maybe your life has taken an unexpected turn and it's discouraged you. You feel weak because of it. You're tempted to stop working on the wall and come down and put your hammer down and just call it quits. You might even be deceived into believing a lie. Or maybe you've even caught yourself complaining. Even if you haven't used words in your own thoughts, you've been complaining instead of rejoicing in the Lord. And you've been settling for less than God's best. Going back to part 2 and part 3, rest in God's presence. Rest in God's promises and trust God's peace. And whatever you do, go to God in prayer. Refuse to come off the wall. Keep on going for God. Set a watch on the high places and low places. Remember the Lord and His goodness. Fight for your family. Realize if you put the hammer down, you are opening the door to your children, your grandchildren. Be balanced. Build and battle both. Somebody else can't battle for you. You must battle at times. But God has a place for you to build as well. You must do both. Be balanced. Find somebody else who's under attack and try to encourage them. And then if you're a child of God, realize you're on the winning side. Your God fights for His own. If you'll turn the burden over to Him, He'll take it. He'll bear it. And He'll help you. Jesus Himself said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest." You know what would be good tonight? For several of God's children, whether seated right there in your seat or whether up here at the altar, spiritually speaking, you bring your burden and you lay it down and you take your hands off. You say, "Lord, I can't do this. I can't carry this." You know what God says? "Thank you for being honest. I'll take it from here." That's what we need. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. We're not going to stand, but if God is dealing with your heart, I want you to come to the altar. If you just like to make an altar of your seat right there, let's pray. Let's talk to God. Give our burdens to Him. Ask God to keep us encouraged. As He sings, if you want to come, come.
I have decided to follow Jesus. Is your heart discouraged? Come on.
Come talk to the Lord about it.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. They're playing through. I'm just about done. You can look this way. It's the first Sunday of the new year. And I want you to understand, there's going to be something if God gives us life. There's going to be something, more than likely, more than once this year, that's going to come into your life and my life, and it's going to try to discourage you. It's going to happen. Set a watch. Don't be taken by surprise. The pastor said this was coming. More importantly, the Word of God says it's coming. You don't have to live in defeat. You can live in victory. Hey, you'll never be the gospel witness or the Christian son or daughter that God wants you to be with a discouraged heart. But even when you're discouraged, you're not where you need to be and you know it. You're struggling and you know it. You don't want it and you know it, but you don't know what to do with it. Just stay on the wall, friends. Don't come down. Keep going. Keep praying. Keep seeking God. Realize the best is yet to come. Go to God in prayer. He'll give you peace. And realize God fights for His own. Give Him the burden. Multiple times if it needs to be. Here's one of my burdens for this year. I share this with you. We'll pray in a moment and be dismissed. I've been burdened for our families. What I mean by that is our families who are lost. Many of you have family members that if they go to meet God this year, they're not ready. Why don't we pray as a church family, Lord? Help us to reach our families this year. I know God's in that. Why don't you pray, make it a matter of prayer this year. God, help me to reach my brother. Help me to reach my sister. Help me to reach my mama, my daddy, my grandparents, my grandchildren, my children. Why don't you make it a matter of prayer? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be wonderful for you to come to this, to the first Sunday of next year, if God gives you breath, and be able to stand and say, God saved my this year. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Amen. No doubt about it. Our hearts need to be encouraged to help this. So don't live in discouragement. Live in encouragement. I've preached enough. Don't say amen to that, I hope. But I have preached enough, and I appreciate you being here tonight. God bless you. I'm going to ask Brother Chuck Eaton, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please.